This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You'll get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check on the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. I think I had a little dyslexia just now, but I got through it. We got through it. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Sorry about it, Tony, with you. And I will make sure I read this report correctly, Michael, because we have an update on the Deshaun Watson situation out there in Cleveland. Despite a report earlier this morning from Tom Pelissero that an MRI earlier this weekend showed no additional structural damage to Deshaun Watson's shoulder, Kevin Stefanski has come out and announced that PJ Walker will start yet again this week as the Browns head out there to Seattle. And we've already seen a little bit of line movement from that standpoint. The Browns were getting 3, now getting 3.5 on the road come Sunday.
My question to you, Stormy, is if Watson played, are the Browns any good the way he's played? I mean,
I haven't
he's
been
hurt.
Impressed.
I mean, it looked really bad trying to throw the ball in the first pass of the game. I think the Colts probably would have preferred Watson to play than PJ Walker. Not that Walker's any good, but I mean, look, Deshaun has not come anywhere close to the year he had two years ago. It's not even close. And his numbers this year are very similar to his last year's numbers. There's been no real improvement, and the injury is affecting him, certainly. But to me, if I was saying to somebody in the league today, you know, I'm sure Seattle wants, you know, Watson to play. I mean, I don't think they have a problem with it. It isn't like we make a big deal out of it. Oh, my God, Watson's not playing. Really? Does it matter? I mean, the line moved to 0.5 probably because they're trying to get people to buy Cleveland back at 3.5 to try to get some Cleveland money in here. Because, you know, Cleveland's going to have to win the game with defense and find a way to run the ball on a good Seattle run defense. But let's make no mistake about it. If Cleveland could get a refund on this deal, you know, like I said yesterday, I send out more of Millie's refund boxes than anything. I print out those labels constantly. I mean, if Cleveland could print out a return label online for Watson, I think they have to do it, don't you?
And Watson's so glad that they do not have that gift receipt, that they are unable to do so, because he's got that $230 million guaranteed and he's feeling good from that standpoint. But you're dead on, Michael. What we saw against the Colts, 1 of 5 to start the game with nearly 2 interceptions before he ended up getting knocked out. And through this season, he's only played, 3.25 games to this point, none of which have been stellar. His best game of the season was against the Tennessee Titans team that we just talked about in the previous segment, that's dumping assets and is a 2-win team at this point. It's not like their defense is anything more than a middling defense, truly. So Deshaun Watson, this is just an unfortunate ongoing thing. And I think the reason that it's such a big talking point is, yes, the money, Michael, but also because of what our eyes saw from him in Houston and seeing how electric that he was at times, the playmaker that he was. But when you have 2 years off and you're not playing competitive football and you're dealing with all of the off the field stuff that he was dealing with, then you have the pressure of this contract. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I never want to question a guy and how he's really feeling from an injury standpoint. But after the game, he said, whenever I step on the field, I don't want to have any pain holding me back and be handicapped. We had a great week of preparation, felt like it was the best opportunity for me to come back. I just wasn't able to finish the game. So I wonder what he's feeling to the point where he's struggling as bad as he is, yet they're not able to see this on an MRI machine.
Well, you know, I feel bad for Brown fans.
Yeah.
Because look, they have next year, his cap number is going to be $63 million. His 2025 cap number is $63 million. His 2026 cap number is $63 million. He is going to be responsible for 22% of the cap. Now, in 22 and 23, he was only responsible for 4% in 22 and 7% in 23. So they boosted these numbers up, and 24 is when it kicks in. And they have no recourse. And of course, he has a no trade clause in his contract. Well, who's trading for him? I mean, they got to figure out how to fix this. They're stuck with him. And they're stuck in ways that even Denver's not stuck with Russell Wilson, or Arizona's not stuck with Kyler Murray, or the Giants aren't stuck with Daniel Jones. So this is bad. And I'm not saying the kid's not hurt. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we haven't seen the player that got this contract. We've yet to see the talent that went into this contract. We've seen nothing but really very below average play.
Yeah, I was going to say, Michael, not even flashes, right? Not even like glimpses really of the guy that he was. And bigger picture now for Watson and the Browns, Michael, are we going to waste this defense because we know how talented they are, and that division continues to get more difficult because Baltimore, the way that they've shown up the last couple weeks, obviously they're the favorite in the division right now. Steelers keep accidentally winning. We joked about it yesterday, just like tumbling themselves to dubs where they have four wins right now this season. And the Bengals, you can only anticipate, are going to get better and better as the season goes on. So I worry for the Browns as the season as a whole, that they're going to waste what is a top tier defense in the National Football League because of their quarterback, who everybody thought was going to be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy. Kind of embarrassing, right? I mean, they went all in and they pushed everybody to the side with this contract, right? They pushed everybody to the side with the contract. And, you know, Atlanta looked like they were going to be the favorite. And once Cleveland guaranteed everything, skill and injury, Atlanta was left to the wayside, and thank God they were. Thank God Carolina was saving money. They didn't sign Hassan Riddick because they were saving money to try to get in the Watson Derby. Look how fortunate they are. Now, they turned around and traded a bunch of assets for Bryce Young. We'll see how that works out. But, I mean, Cleveland's on the hook here. And as good as they are on defense, we know this. You're not going to win a title just by running the football. You're going to have to make plays in the passing game. And can they do it? I mean, they've got to figure out, can they get the rookie ready to play? Can they get him to where he, because when you're with PJ Walker, there's a ceiling here now, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's no, where are we going with this? So the challenge is for Andrew Berry, and really the challenge is for, when you break it down, it's for Stefanski. I mean, he's got to figure out a way to where he's got to sit in his office and say, okay, how do I get this fixed? What do I do? And I can't get anybody in here to help me fix it. I can't sign a veteran. I got to deal with what I had. If they had Josh Dobbs right now, what do you think would be happening?
Yeah. No, it's a rough situation out there in Cleveland.
They made the move because they wanted Thompson Robinson to be the backup. And then they put him out there and they go, oh, wait a minute, we misjudged him in the preseason. He's not ready. I think they got to go back to Thompson Robinson and see if they can get him ready, because the ceiling for Walker is not going at. Where are we going with him?
So is that a similar situation?
And this injury for Watson, Stormy, I think is going to linger. I think he's going to go on IR. I think this is going to linger for a long time.
So what you're saying about Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Michael, is this just a similar situation to what we're seeing with Will Levis over there, and that we need to see what we have? We've only seen him in regular season action one game. Obviously, it wasn't good, but we saw some bright spots in the preseason. So let's see what he could bring. Could he bring a spark? Because he does have that mobility factor, right? He can bring a little bit of pop potentially if the offensive line can protect him a little bit. And the sack numbers were just so bad that game, and he looked very, very off. But maybe he just didn't have the clutch gene, and the adrenaline didn't hit him in the right way for his first start. Needs more opportunities to settle in.
I think oftentimes the same thing McDaniels did with not playing O'Connell. You know, he would have given him a chance. You know, when you go to Brian Hoyer, you really are not having any chance. And so I get why they do it, because coaches can only see what's right in front of them. Oh my God, I got to win this game. And if I play, you know, O'Connell, he's going to take sacks like he shouldn't take. And, you know, and I think that's ultimately what happens. And you end up playing defense when maybe if we take Thompson Robinson and try to develop him, we got a chance. It's easier for us to say it from afar than it is internally, but I think it's our only chance.
Which is in my opinion, a kind of a scary thought. Again, based on just what we've seen so far to this point, that your season is hanging in the balance and you've just invested so much into a player that hasn't delivered and doesn't look like you're going to be able to, that you say, hey, let's try to put this ball in the hands of the rookie from UCLA, that it was an ugly first outing, but just see what we have and if there's something that can help us take off. It's, yeah, a rough situation. The Ravens, once again, the division favorite right now, and rightfully so, a little over even money, plus 105, Browns 3-1, Steelers and Bengals 5-1. We are going to step aside here on the Lombardi line, but when we return, we still have plenty more news and notes to get to around the National Football League, as well as an update on Survivor, because despite the biggest selection this past week, staying alive, there was a lot of carnage beyond that. We'll get to it in a moment. Stay with us here on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's V-E-G-A-S, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. And Michael, ever since you brought up this Cliff Kingsbury thing, I am just going Twitter crazy right now as Lincoln Riley dealing with an illness right now. Obviously, hope the best for him from a health standpoint. Not fun to have to be held out the way that he is right now. But all of the Twitter response to USC in compliance, working on making Cliff Kingsbury an acting assistant. Kingsbury's going to backdoor his way into being the head coach at USC, isn't he? Like all these different things. You've made me go down a rabbit hole in commercial breaks. Thanks for that, Michael.
Yeah, well, I you know, just trying to do what I can do for you, Stormy. I mean, you're in that college football world. We got to figure it out. You know, I'm sure you were fully engaged. I mean, there's a lot going on in college. You know, it's always fascinating to see these teams and they hire these coaches and they pay so much money and then all of a sudden the expectations don't go where they are. You know, football hasn't changed since it started back at Ralph Hayes' car dealership back in Canton, Ohio. It's a game of physicality, and we all fall in love with these offenses that can move the ball and do all these things, but the teams that win championships are the ones that play really well and play physically.
Another one of these tweets, convinced this is just an elaborate ploy by Lincoln Riley to make someone else fire Alex Grinch. It just keeps getting better. But to your point about offenses, I think that's a good segue into your power rankings update in the NFL. And I know the Miami Dolphins have always been, you know, a big conversation topic as we go through these rankings because of the offensive production and the numbers that they put out there have consistently been held out of your top five. Now they're coming off of a rough performance this past week. And so where do things sit right now? We saw the 49ers drop a second straight game. The Eagles got back on track. The Ravens, I know from the eye test, keep getting better and better. I wonder where they are in your list. So let's lay it out.
Well, I mean, look, it's not really complicated. Again, all my lists come straight from in terms of the numbers. I try to put there's no bias. It's just how do you rank? What do you do? The 18 categories that have a sense of winning. And obviously Kansas City has really played well over the last week. And the boost Kansas City gets is because of their defense, right? They moved the ball effectively last week against our man's defense. But, you know, the Eagles have gone up. I mean, the Eagles' numbers, the thing that's only stopping the Eagles are their turnovers. Hurts has turned the ball over more this year than he did last year. The Ravens are as good as any team in the league. The Niners didn't drop down as far as Munn might expect because, let's face it, the Niners are two plays away from being undefeated. Let's not forget that. And then the Cowboys slide down to five. We're going to find out how good the Cowboys are this week because the matchup against the Rams favors them. The Rams are a little bit like a bad team. Not a little bit, like they are. The longer the game goes, the more physicality, the more wear and tear, they don't have enough depth to hold up. And we saw Pittsburgh run the ball late in the game on them. And if Dallas can run the ball, that'll be a problem. And if Dallas can rush Stafford and create some problems. Look, I fully expect the first drive of that game, the Rams to be in the lead. But the longer the game goes, will the Cowboys wear them down? I think that's the question. That's why they're in our top five. As for some other teams, I mean, Miami, I think Jacksonville's a team moving up. Again, I've been all over Buffalo. I've paid a lot of it, done a lot of work the last 2 days on trying to figure out Buffalo out because they have been in my top, but they're not there anymore. You don't give up 5.3 yards rushing and be in the top five teams in the league. They have an elite quarterback. And if you really study the game against New England, it took a Herculean effort for him not to get tackled six times for sacks. It really did. And even Bills fans would admit it. And he turned those negative plays into positive. Not many quarterbacks can do that other than Allen and Mahomes and guys like that. So the Bills will always be a team that can beat anybody. But I'm just trying to caution our betting public to not go all in on them when it gets really high spreads because I don't know how good they really are as a total team.
Yeah, and it's three straight weeks now where we're seeing more and more of those warts show up with the various injuries and the issues, to your point, that they've had offensively outside of Josh Allen. And it's funny, Michael, because we talk about so many teams who their big issue is the quarterback position. And with the Buffalo Bills, it's the complete opposite. Like, they have the quarterback. They have the guy that can get you there. It's just the surrounding pieces are either injured or not working complementary like they need to right now. The other team that you bumped...
You know who Buffalo would be? If you took, Al Davis used to do this all the time. If you put Josh Allen on the Raiders team and you put Hoyer on Buffalo's team, there would be, that's the difference. You could say, well, you're crazy. No, they got Max Crosby. They got an elite pass rusher. They got an elite receiver, Devontae Adams. They got an elite running back, right? They got some elite pieces, right? They don't have an elite quarterback. So everything they have doesn't look very good. Meanwhile, Buffalo has an elite quarterback and everybody thinks they're really good. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody thinks they're really good. The Raiders are no good. They're terrible. They are. They're not very good. Granted, they have some good, but they have no quarterback. Same thing if you put Allen on another team, put him on the Jets or put him on Tennessee. All of a sudden, the teams in it, put him on New England. Put Josh Allen on New England. What do you think that record is? We're having New England in a top five conversation.
It's a really interesting conversation. And meanwhile, another team that you bumped off of your list this week is the Detroit Lions, coming off that ugly performance against the Ravens. And we were talking not long ago about them being really competitive for that second best team in the NFC right now. And now they're out of your top five based on the numbers altogether.
Well, they are out of the top five, but they're still sixth. So they're right there. They're ahead of Buffalo, actually. Mm. They'll bounce back. I mean, look, they needed that. They needed to get the dose of reality, and they needed to figure out how are they going to play against quarterbacks with movement, because that's something that's been a thorn in their side, whether it was the two games against Justin Fields last year or the 164 yards rushing that Buffalo got against them on Thanksgiving Day. So it's a great lesson. It's a powerful learning tool. It's one loss. I think people are overvaluing Minnesota based on what they did on Saturday on Monday night, because when you peel back the layers of that game, they easily could have lost that game if it wasn't for the blitz zero call at the end of the half. Cousins played as good as he can play, right? And they scored 22 points. As good as he can play, and they scored 22 points, and seven of them came from, you can call it a Hail Mary, but it wasn't, but it really was.
Yep. Also, while we're on the 49ers for a moment, I'm sure Robbie Gould is just like sitting at home, watching, laughing, like, if you just paid up a little bit more, we'd be fine. But Jake Moody, like, every time that he steps up to kick, Michael, I feel uncomfortable, but it is what it is. And that, again,
And he's a great kicker, Stormy. He's a great kicker. And if they get rid of him, it's like Carlson. It's like Elliott. It's like all these great kickers in the league. They have to go through this. They have to go through it. I mean, look, you're talking to somebody. I wanted to fire Matt Stover so bad in 1991. I mean, we had signed him as a Plan B free agent from the Giants. Belichick knew him, and he was not good. And I wanted to fire him. And he got in his rookie year, and it was second year in the league, and he made a kick against the Bengals to win the game, and his career took off from that point forward. Moody's going to be the same way. You know, it's going to be the same way because you just got to get through that point. You know, now where's like Brett Maher, who the Rams had to cut. That's a mental thing. He, you know, there's no way they could go forward with that. I think Moody will go forward, but you're right. It, you know, in this cap era, you've got to have to make some concessions, and they decided to make it at the most important, one of the most important positions, is kicker. They weren't anticipating kicking many field goals, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and we talk about that all the time, though, that the kicking game, very, very underrated part of, especially for us as bettors, what is winning and losing a game, winning and losing a bet. And so I hope that he gets through these growing pains because it's been from the preseason to now. Also, last minute here, your bottom five teams, you have the Giants, Broncos, Raiders, Cardinals, and Bears. Interesting, the Panthers, who are the only winless team in the NFL and winless against the spread, not in your bottom five.
Yeah, they kind of got a break. I guess their numbers kind of got improved because some of these other teams got bad, you know. So I think I was doing on the Panthers. It's interesting. This will be only be the third home game for the Panthers this year. And their average margin of loss against teams on the road is 15.5. They've lost by a combined score of 15.5. Their average margin of loss at home is 5.5. They just haven't played a lot at home. They haven't played a lot of home games. They're a different team at home than they are on the road. And they're going against a Texans team that's probably overpriced right now. But when you look at them, for all the conversations about Texas, the Texans, about how great they are, you know, and what they've been able to do, their defense has allowed over 400 yards the last 2 weeks. You can throw the football effectively. So with Thomas George coming back into play here, what are they going to do? How will it work out? I think it'll be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, and we said it yesterday for the Carolina Panthers. This feels like their Super Bowl in week 8, where they're at a critical game and rookie quarterback on rookie quarterback going head to head out there at Bank of America Stadium in Carolina. We are going to step aside when we return. The one and only Why Not Wednesday. Can't wait to look at some of these long shots.
There we go.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way vsin's here to make you a more informed, better year round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at vsin.com. vsin.com, also where you can find our pro tips every single day, as it's time to get to ours here today on the Lombardi Line, and it's searchable on vsin.com by sport and by show. So if you want tips specifically from us and from Michael on the Lombardi Line, very easy to find. But we were just having a conversation before the break, Michael, about the Carolina Panthers, and you gave some interesting stats and nuggets of information of how they perform at home versus the road. And a very good tip, I think, for bettors to be aware of is specifically for bad teams. And we look at this Carolina team is 0-6 this year. They've really struggled. Much better at home than on the road. So it's important to look at those home versus road splits.
They've only played two home games. They've lost the four road games, right? And they've given up the margin of losses is 11 points in two games, 5.5. In the road games, it's 15.7. You know, they played the Saints in a close game at home. And remember, they played the Minnesota Vikings, who just beat the 49ers in a close game at home. They turned it over in that game, which got the Vikings the win and the cover. So the point here is, I believe bad offensive lines don't travel. And the Carolina Panthers are exhibit A of that statement. They're bad offensive line. When it goes on the road, they don't travel well. But at home, they can cover it up. And against a Texan team that, for all the conversation about them, and I think D'Amico's done a great job of coaching this team, and C.J. Stroud's been fabulous, they are not a just-going-to-stop-you defensively team. I mean, Carolina will move the football in this game, and if they don't turn it over, they're going to have a really good chance at covering, because the Texans aren't a dominating team by any means. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they benefited from the four turnovers. I mean, the Saints easily could have won that game with a red zone performance. Atlanta won their game and put 447 yards on him, but and it was a close game and it shouldn't have been.
And you've got Carolina at least efforting to make some changes, letting Thomas Brown step in to call the plays instead of Frank Reich. And if I'm Bryce Young, I'm extremely motivated going into this game as well, taking on CJ Stroud, who you've heard all of the rumblings that your own coaches wanted to take this guy. Let's prove them wrong. Let's show how good I can be at this level. So all really, really good points, I think, about Carolina getting this opportunity at home in an important game against the Texans, trying to get their first win and first cover of the season. 0-5-1 ATS as well for the Carolina Panthers to this point. So maybe, just maybe, this is the week in the matchup that works for them. Again, VSiN.com is where you can find our pro tips every single day. But now, Michael, and we're working on an open. We're going to get an open for this very soon, my friend. It's time for Why Not Wednesday. We are going to look at some plus money, some longer shot options, and see if it makes you want to turn your head and say why not. So we'll start in the NFL. With the Cincinnati Bengals, Michael, because I know that we are, like, all things are coming up roses for the Baltimore Ravens right now. We love what they are doing. But Cincinnati, slow start with an injured quarterback. All of a sudden, they've won three of their last four games. They're coming out of a bye this coming week. Got a good game against San Francisco. If they were to win that, can you imagine just how things are going to change up and how people are going to be talking about the Bengals moving forward? Could you say why not to a 25-1 Super Bowl ticket? Could the Bengals get it together and get there with Joe Burrow getting healthy?
I would say why not. Again, I don't think it can happen, but I would say why not, because I think this offensive line is problematic. I mean, look, you know, I don't have to tell anybody who had a Seattle ticket 2 weeks ago before the bye about how fortunate Cincinnati was to win that game and how their offense kind of stalled at the end of it. Now, everybody's going to assume they're healthy. They're going to go to San Francisco. They're a 5.5-point dog in San Francisco. I think it should be a little bit higher. It's not. But I just think, to me, they have some issues, but why not? I mean, they have a great quarterback, and when you have a great quarterback, as I've mentioned earlier in the show, as John Madden eloquently said, the great quarterback is a deodorant for everything else that's wrong with your team. And so why not?
I love it. Let's go to the NFC South. Or no, excuse me. Change my mind.
Okay.
We're going to go to the NFC North. All right. We're going to go North. Because we talked a lot yesterday about the Vikings, right? And how potentially the way that they're playing could be a playoff team, especially the way that things in the NFC shake out. I'm going to take it one step further. Could we say why not on the Minnesota Vikings putting it together to win the division and upset the hype train that has been the Detroit Lions?
Why not?
Really?
I mean, look, one thing we know about the Vikings is that they can move the football. And the way Brian Flores is calling defense, he's creating havoc. Mark Twain has this great saying, you know, the greatest swordsman in the world doesn't fear the second best swordsman. He fears the unconventional swordsman, someone who's liable to do anything. That's Brian Flores right now. He's liable to do anything with the team. So they play at home. We saw the power of the home crowd the other night, how they were able to kind of help them along. Look, the Lions have to kind of maintain it. Can they win on the road? All those things. Why not? I don't expect it. I would be less likely with Minnesota than I was with Cincy going to the Super Bowl, but why not?
Okay. And again, this is a team that when they're 1-4, we're talking about where could they trade Kirk Cousins? Are they going to offload and start the rebuild now? But back-to-back wins, 3-4, gaining a little bit of momentum and a seemingly on paper easy schedule ahead. Interesting. But yeah, the Lions, obviously their in-season win total pretty high expectations for this team, 11.5, Vikings just 6.5, but I like the why not, the plus 550, baby. Let's get it going. Now in the wide receiving game, everybody's always talking about Tyreek Hill. He made the proclamation at the beginning of the season that he was going to have 2000 receiving yards this year. AJ Brown has entered the chat, Michael, and he is somebody that has come on. He has looked like a lot of fun, very dynamic playmaking ability. Could you say why not for him actually to be the guy to break the single season record? Plus 450 for him to go over that number.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he makes incredible plays down the field. He's for a guy that didn't run fast at the combine, who's not explosive at his 40 time, he gets down the field and he does it with power. He doesn't do it with innate speed. He does it with power. And then all jump ball situations, he wins. And he's got really, for anybody who wants to study receiver play, he's got really strong wrists. When the ball hits his hands, it stops. And so when he's got a 50-50 ball, it really favors him 90-10 because he's going to make the catch. So why not? I mean, he's playing at such a level that I don't know how John Robinson, the former general manager of the Titans, thought, I can get someone just like him in the first round. You can't. I think a lot of this comes back that when you draft a guy in the later rounds, you just never think he's as good as he is. This kid's really is.
Last five games, 137 yards, 131, 127, 175, 131. It's just every single week he's coming out there and delivering. He would need 1,965 to break the record, plus 450. Again, what that number is right now. Harry Gagnon came on the program. He is going with the hometown Arizona Diamondbacks to win the World Series, Michael, as an underdog. They've been winning as a dog the entire way from the wild card round to now. Can you say why not and take that plus 150, plus 160 price on the D-backs to get it done?
I mean, I would never say nothing bad about momentum. Momentum is one of the most powerful tools in all of sports. And the Diamondbacks have momentum. And they have a belief. And the fact that they won two road games in Philadelphia is remarkable. Christopher Russo didn't think it would happen. You know, he's going to have to unretire now. I heard he's back.
Oh, wow. That's
so
big
news. Yeah, big news. I think to me, you know, why not, Stormy? What do you think?
There's no momentum like momentum, as you say, Michael. And I mean, especially, granted, it's not the preseason price. And God bless you, whoever has one of those tickets on the Diamondbacks to win the World Series right now that you're sitting on. But I think it makes sense. And they've just continued to exceed expectations. And when everyone counts them out, why not, Michael? And that's the beauty of this segment. I'll hit you with one more real quickly. We got the world's largest outdoor cocktail party coming up. The Georgia Bulldogs and Florida Gators going head to head. It's a 14.5-point spread, but could the Gators maybe on the money line be the team that stops the undefeated streak for Georgia?
I don't think so, but I would sprinkle some pizza money on it. Why not? I mean, those games are unpredictable. And the way college football's gone this year, who can predict anything with a degree of certainty? Why not, Stormy? You know it.
I think somebody's going to do it. I don't know if it'll be Florida. I don't know if it'll be Missouri, but I think somebody's going to do it.
I do too.
Why not?
I do too.
A beautiful.
And we'll be here to cover it.
Yes, sir, we will. A beautiful edition of Why Not Wednesday. This is one of my favorite segments every week. We got some good ones. I can't wait for the open to come through. Great stuff as always, Michael. That's a wrap for us on the Lombardi Line. If you're watching on DraftKings Network, it'll be Pablo Torre coming up next. The Sharp Money Crew here on VSiN.